Blog Talk Radio.
Need another reason your Randall store is just better? How about free Farberware pots and pans? That's right. For every $10 you spend, earn a stamp you can redeem towards free Farberware items. See the in-store display for details. Earn stamps this week by purchasing beef T-bone steaks, great for grilling, for just $5.99 a pound. And get new crop large premium Gala apples or navel oranges for only 77 cents a pound. Fresher meats, sweeter produce, lower prices. Randall's, proudly serving Houston families since 1966.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am just grateful and thankful for God's amazing love, for His amazing grace. And I pray that you are grateful and thankful for His love and His grace upon your life, and just allowing us to set our eyes upon another day that He has created, another day that He has made, that we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, praise the Lord. I am so thankful to have you listening to this amazing broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. And we're up for a wonderful treat today. And I hope that you come thirsty, hungry, ready to hear a word from God, a sweet nugget that would permeate through your heart, that would pierce you in a way to where you would be encouraged, to where you would be bold to pass a test of temptation and pass a test that leads to triumph. So if you could get your Bibles ready and your pens, that we would come faithfully to the throne of grace through His word, that we would look at some passages that we are going to move through pretty swiftly, and that we are going to look at our lesson today, temptation or testing, can you pass? So before we come to before we get started in our lesson today, let's just offer up a prayer of praise. Let's offer up a prayer that is sweet to His nostrils. So if you could bow your heads with me as we pray to our Lord and Savior concerning His word. So let's just get started in prayer. Lord God, thank You for who You are. Thank You for being the God of today, the God of yesterday, the God of our future. Thank You for being sovereign, who has everything under Your sovereign control. Lord, we just exalt You today. We glorify You today. We lift up Your name, Lord Jesus, and we exalt You with the fruit of our lips today. We thank You for leading us and guiding us through this blessed day, for allowing us to just breathe today, Lord. We are so forever grateful. Lord, speak to our hearts today concerning this topic of temptation and testing. Speak to us in a way that we would have clarity concerning what You want us to learn through Your scriptures. Lord, lead us and guide us down that straight and narrow path. Bring us off of the road of that's wide of destruction. We need You today. We need Your leadership. We need Your guidance. We need Your love. Lord, we exalt You and we thank You for what You're doing right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just thank You for, again, sitting with me concerning the Word of God and looking at temptation or testing. Can you pass? Now, my question today is, have you been faced with a temptation that caused you to sin? No matter how great or small that temptation. Think about this. Some may think in today's society that God tests and tempts us to waver in our faith. And most don't know that our testing or trials come in various ways that move us out of our comfort zones. Perseverance in testing results in spiritual maturity and completeness. So we are to count it all joy according to James 1, verse 2. So in your private time, make note of James 1, verse 2, and you can go back and read that particular verse. But in today's society, most think that God tests and tempts us to waver in our faith. And most don't even know how things or trials come in various forms or ways that move us out of our comfort zones. And think about that with me for a minute, because as we move through this lesson, temptation or testing, can you pass? We'll look at how society thinks and how we are as believers in Christ Jesus, how we are to think, how we are to live, and how we are to trust in triumph. Now, my 3 points today, if you make note of those, make note of point one, temptation. Very simple. Point one is temptation. Point two, testing. And point three, triumph. Temptation, testing, triumph. The three T's. I love it. I thank God for temptation, and testing. Can you pass? I thank God for this lesson today, because in all actuality, brothers and sisters, this lesson was for me. It was for me. And boy, he has an amazing way of showing us the man or the woman in the mirror. And it brings a delight to me to count it all joy, according to James 1, verse 2. So let's look at some definitions, if you will. I love to define certain words. I love to do word study. And one of the things I enjoy in teaching is to get a simplistic understanding of certain things. And one thing is the word temptation. And we're going to look at how temptation is defined in the Nelson's Bible Dictionary. And that's Nelson's Bible Dictionary. This is what and how they define temptation: enticement or invitation to sin, with the implied promise of greater good to be derived from following the way of disobedience. An enticement or invitation to sin. And we're going to look at temptation in detail, and we're going to look at testing in detail scripturally now, and then we're going to look at triumphant. And we did understand temptation to entice someone to sin, cause of enticement, to entice someone to sin, an invitation to sin. Now, we're going to look at temptation, and we're going to look at how we are to resist temptation and who is the father of temptation. And let's look at some scriptures as we move through our points, and point one being temptation. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 9. Now remember, temptation, according to the dictionary, an enticement or an invitation to sin, and with the implied promise of a greater good to be derived from following the way of disobedience. So we know it's an invitation to sin, which is disobedience, and of course it is contrary to what God tells us or commands us to resist, turn from our wicked ways. Let's look at 1 Peter 5, and we're going to start in verse 8 of 1 Peter. And it reads this way. So if you would follow along with me in your Bible, and the Word of God always says to study, to show thyself approved unto God. And I just encourage you to study, to show thyself approved unto God. 1 Peter 5, and I'm going to read this in the NIV translation, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And we're going to stop there. So for this lesson, my foundation scripture is 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Again, be self-controlled and alert. And then it says, your enemy, the devil, we know him as Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan himself. And we are going to look at what he did in the garden. So mark your place or hold that place in 1 Peter 5, because we're going to look at that in a little more detail. And let's go to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. And let's look, before we go to Genesis 13, Genesis 3, I'm sorry, Genesis 3, and we're going to look at verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1, and it reads this way. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And we're going to look at how Satan twists things around. He twists things around for us to be confused. And I think I may be having a few little difficulties with my technology. One moment. Okay, I apologize. If we do disconnect on the broadcast today, it's because the studio is having some technical difficulties, and we will complete tomorrow on next Thursday before we end the broadcast. Always remember that the word of God will remain forever, although the grass wither and the flowers fade away. To God be the glory. I hope that the technical difficulties that I am experiencing on the broadcast today will rectify themselves. But I'm going to go on anyway in the Lord. And I thank God for his faithfulness, even in technology. We can have some problems, but he knows how to remedy every situation. We are to just stay faithful to him, and we are to just continue to fight the good fight, but maintain faith. So we will continue in our lesson, and we were going to, we were reading through Genesis chapter 3, and we were starting in verse 1 as we were focusing on who is the author of temptation. And look what it says in Genesis 3, and it reads this way, and we're in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Verse 4, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then, of course, we know verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, what does that tell us? That lets us know that temptation is, of course, begins with Satan. He is the father of lies. He is the orchestrator of temptation, and he is seeking whom he can devour. And we saw that in the very beginning in the garden when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of good and evil, and they should not have. When God gave them specific instruction, gave him specific instruction not to do what was told not to do, and that was to eat of that particular tree. But if you really look at those verses and pay close attention on how Satan makes things so subtle and enticing, and he twists things around to where our minds will go to a place that may seem to make us think that it's right, but it's actually wrong. And thank God for giving us 5 senses to use when we know something is wrong, especially when we know we're born in sin and we are tempted to take something, or we're tempted to lie. We are tempted to see things in the wrong way. We run to sin instead of running from sin. And Satan uses those things, uses the very things that we were born into, the sin nature that we're born into. He uses that to lure us away farther and farther and farther from God. He wants to devour us. Now, when I say us, I'm talking about those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, those who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we can say that he has them right in his hand. That is why it is so important for us to continue to pray one for another, building the body of Christ up, but it's so important for us to lead those who are in darkness into the marvelous light. And that is the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, through salvation. But, again, it is known that in Scripture, all the way back in Genesis, from the very beginning, that Satan was cast out of heaven, and he is on this earth roaming around, seeking whom he can devour like a lion, ready to pounce on every moment of our lives and use every little area to grab a foothold in your life in order to destroy it, to devour it. And Scripture tells us to resist temptation, to resist it, to resist him and all of his subtle little evil ways that cause us to fall into temptation. So, according to Matthew 4, Let's look there. Matthew 4, chapter 4, and let's look at verse 3. Matthew 4, verse 3. And it reads this way. Matthew 4, 3. Tempter came to him and said, now this is Jesus as he was being tempted. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. If, he says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And we know that Satan said this even in verse 6. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. Jesus was being tempted by Satan when he was in the desert. Or if you're in the King James translation, when he was in the wilderness, he was being tempted by the devil. If, Satan said, if, Satan said. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3, 5. Now remember, he said, if. And even when he told Eve in the garden, comes very subtle, and he will twist things around to where they will sound like they make sense or appear to be okay. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3. So I can get there in my scriptures. There we go. And we're going to look at verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. So when Satan comes to try to tempt us, then what good are we? What good are we? For this reason, and let's back up to verse 4. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. So that means Paul was praying to the church of Thessalonica. He was wanting to make sure that what has been taught or told to them, that Satan did not come and rob them of the truth, twist the truth around to where it would cause them to leave their first love, to do things or think in a way that is contrary to what the truth is. And Paul indicated, he was afraid. I was afraid that in some way that the tempter might have tempted you. And all of his efforts, all of the efforts of the pastor all that preaches every Sunday, all of the efforts of your Bible study, all of the efforts of your close Christian friends, and all of your spiritual influences, your spiritual mother or your spiritual father, your brother or your sisters in Christ, all of the efforts of the Word of God have left you because of the lusts of the world, your own lust. So we are, when we allow the temptations of Satan to destroy us, to devour us, and we know the repercussions of Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God's command. They were dismissed from the garden. And he was to work by the sweat of his brow. So now, Scripture tells us to resist temptation. Let's look at 1 John 3, verse 8. Still under the point of temptation and how it destroys and devours us when we fall prey to Satan's very subtle and evil ways. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 8. Who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, as we just read in Genesis. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now that just puts it very, very plainly. Very plainly. Let's reread that. 1 John 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. Can't get any plainer than that. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And that was beginning, that was in heaven, when he was ousted out of heaven with a third of the angels. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we already know that we are victorious, that the battle has already been won, and that Satan and his demons and his angels, demonic angels, are hell-bound. And all of that we read in Revelation. So, now as we've read through Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6, we saw in the garden how Satan came very subtle. And we saw in 1 John, just as we read in chapter 3, 8, on how Jesus came for the purpose to make manifest that he might destroy the works of Satan. Let's look at Mark 14, verse 38. And we're still under our first point. But let's see what it says concerning prayer when we are in temptation or being faced with temptation. Mark 14, verse 38. And I'm going to read it in the NIV translation. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And this is what Jesus told the disciples when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying. And he told the disciples, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that we don't fall into temptation, we are to be watchful and prayerful, that the the devourment of temptation will not overcome us, will not take us out. Let's look at Matthew 6, verse 13. Matthew 6, 13. We're going to look at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now we know that is the Lord's Prayer as we know it to be. Some people call it the disciples' prayer, but I like to think of it as the Lord's Prayer. And we can back up to our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. That doesn't mean that God leads us into temptation, but he knows that temptation is all around us. And he wants us to be strong in his righteousness, strong in our faith, that we not fall into temptation. He knows that we need him. We need him desperately, because we cannot fight against the temptations or the wiles of Satan in our own strength. We need someone that is more powerful than us. We need somebody that can go before us. We need somebody who can handle the situation better than we can. You leave it up to us, we just make the problem worse. Why? Because we will be subjected to a situation that may arise in our life that will cause us to get angry, cause us to get upset, cause us to want to fight, to be destructive, cause us to want to blame, just as Adam and Eve did, on each other, cause us to be in fear or overwhelmed, cause us to curse, cause us to have a case of excuses, even cause us to wrongfully accuse others because of our own wrongdoing. It causes us to even become impatient when we fall into temptation. So we must be strong in our faith. We must be wise and strong and discerning in the Word of God, because we need a Savior. And it said in the verse that we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he came for a purpose. And all of what Satan does will be reckoned. And we know that in the book of Revelation. So let's keep moving. Let's look at Luke 11, verse 14, and then we'll move to our next point. 11, and we're going to look at verse 4. Not 14, verse 4. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And this is just another, in the same prayer, in a different epistle from the Apostle Luke, as we read in Matthew. And he says it the same way. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And again, when we are in a situation of temptation, we are to pray, just as Jesus did. He told Satan, "For it is written." We are to pray the word of God. That destroys any work of Satan that comes against us, that comes against our family, that comes against our loved ones, or whatever the case may be. We pray. We pray every day concerning every temptation that we are faced against, and we are to resist it. We are to have self-control. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Speaking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, those who don't know Him intimately and have not confessed that they are a sinner and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then we may need to rest at this moment right now so that you will not continue to be in a season or a lifestyle that is not righteous according to God's word. So if you could bow your head for those who may be listening who don't know Jesus for themselves, please, I encourage you to take this opportunity right now to bow your head, humble your heart, be sincere, and repeat after me. Now, it's my words, but your heart. And receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I come with a bowed head and an humble heart, knowing that I need forgiveness. Please save me. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart, for I need a Savior. I love you, Lord Jesus. I believe by faith that I am a sinner, that you died on that cross for me. Your blood covered my sins. Lord, I confess right now that I need you. Please come into my heart and make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, brothers and sisters who prayed with me today concerning someone who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin, if you prayed this prayer today, as you listen to this broadcast, please find a Bible-believing church and have yourself baptized and acknowledge and confess before man that you are a Christ follower. And get yourself discipled in a Sunday school program or a small group Bible study that you would grow and go in grace, that you would learn more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you will not be prey to Satan, that you would stand strong by faith, that you would not fall into temptation no longer. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for partnering with me in prayer. So let's continue to move forward in our lesson that we've looked at Luke 11, verse 4, and how the Lord's Prayer, Jesus himself gave us this prayer to acknowledge the fact that we will be subjected to temptation, that we are to resist it in prayer. Let's look at testing as the second point. Testing, what does that mean? What does testing mean? Testing means to examine in order to determine quality, value, or character. Now, I hope you remember what temptation meant and look at the two and how they are so opposite. Temptation means to entice, an enticement or invitation to sin. Temptation, to entice. And testing, to examine in order to determine quality, value, or character. Amen. Now, we know God tests us. We know Satan tempts us. The world, most of them don't know that. And when I say the world, when I say society, I mean the world. Most don't know that God tests and Satan tempts. Most would say, as I said in the intro, most think that God does both. But we know, according to our scripture, according to our relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, God tests us or allows us to be tested. When God tests his children, he does a valuable thing. Now remember, we looked at the word in definition, testing, to examine in order to determine quality, value, or character. Now, David, he sought God's testing. He asked God to examine his heart and his mind. And he wanted to see that they were true to him. He wanted. He asked God. Let's look at Psalms 26, verse 2. Psalms 26. And look. Let's look at verse 2. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. Test me, O Lord, and try me. This is what David wanted God to do. Let's look at Psalms 139, verse 23. I hope you're making note of these verses because they are so rich in their meaning and in their principle of teaching us how temptation, we are to resist it. We know who the father is of temptation. We know who tempts us. And testing is to examine in order to determine the quality of a person, the value of a person, and their character. So let's look at Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting, according to the King James or New King James translation. This is David, and this should be us, so that we can be purified, that we can be revealed the dirtiness in us that we may not think is there. So David asked, he sought God's testing, asking him to examine his heart and mind. Abram was tested by God. Abram was tested by God in the matter of sacrificing Isaac. And what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. And he showed to all the world that he is the father of faith, according to Romans 4, verse 16. He obeyed. Now, that test was a test of his faith. That made him valuable to God. That showed God his character. And he was a man that sought God, the quality of a man. Quality of a person who seeks God daily shapes your character. We are valued as his children. David asked him to examine. I encourage you to ask God to examine your heart and your mind when you are in a trial of testing, a trial or testing. Let's look at some scripture. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 9 and 11. Now, we read this in the beginning, 1 Peter 5, and we focused on verse 8. But now we're going to look at verse 9 and 11. It says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So this trial is just for a little while. It may not feel like a little while. It may feel forever. But in the midst of our testing, we are not to commit any sin. We are to have self-control. If we back up to verse 8 in 1 Peter 5, in the NIV, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Self-control is so important when we are in a trial, because we want things to happen quickly. We want to get out of this trial quickly. We want to fix quick, get it fixed quick, remedy. We want answers right away. Why? Because it ignites all types of emotions in us. We don't like the way those emotions feel. We don't like the way our mind is going to the left or to the right. Remember, I said when we can be in the midst of a trial or a testing and we aren't sure why, we don't understand it, our mind goes in 100 different directions. We doubt. We fear. We may become overwhelmed. We might find excuses. Or we give up. but I encourage you to keep the faith. According to Proverbs 3, 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Don't lose faith. According to Psalms 121, let's look at Psalms 121. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord. The Lord, who has everything under his sovereign control. And we are going to look at Psalms 26, verse 2. Psalms 26, verse 2. I believe we've read this one. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. And I just wanted to reiterate that to solidify how we are to not lean to our own understanding. And when we ask God to test us, to examine us, we don't want to waver in faith like a fish out of water. We want to stay steadfast, as the scriptures say, steadfast and faithful is what we are to demonstrate, according to 1 Peter 5. Firm and steadfast. Remember Joshua. Joshua, who was taking the staff from Moses, and he was going into Canaan, and he was going to be the next leader. And he had to courage, be strong. He needed not to be doubtful. This was a great test for him. And that's the kind of courage we are to have when we're going through a trial or a testing. God said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there with you. And that's Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. He will always be there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And our last point is triumph. Triumph means to win, to defeat, triumphal. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are triumphant. We overcome anything that Satan tries to throw at us, that tries to trip us up. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 12, before, and then I will be ending our lesson. But let's look at Proverbs 28, and we're going to look at verse 12. And it reads this way. Jackson. When the righteous triumph, who are the righteous? We are the righteous, those who are God's children. When the righteous triumph, there is great elation, great glory, if you will, in the New King James Version. When the righteous rejoice, triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when the wicked rise to power, men go into hiding. But when the righteous triumph, there is great glory. So when we are triumphant, we give glory to God. God is glorified. When we make it to the other side, God is glorified. When the disciples were in the boat and Jesus fell asleep in the boat, a great storm came up on them. And that was the lesson last week. Trouble don't last always. But when we know that Jesus is right there with us in the storm, in the trial, in the testing, that he will bring us to the other side. We just do not let go of his hand. We just do not give up. We stand firm by faith. Let's look at Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15. And it reads, stripping off the rulers and the authorities, he made a display of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing over them in it. Again, we are triumphant. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. We are winners. Paul put it nicely, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So I encourage you to continue to stay steadfast in the Lord. Scriptures tell us that we are triumphant, we are overcomers, we are victorious in Christ Jesus. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing and no one can pluck us out of the hands of God. Nothing can pluck us out of his hand. And yes, the testing may appear or even feel like it's too strong for us to get through. But I encourage you to know that the scriptures promise that he is not a God that lies, that he is faithful and just, and he will bring us through every storm or every testing, just as he did Job. Yes, some people may tell you to give up. Yes, some people may say, just forget about it all. Oh, just walk away from them. Oh, just leave that alone. But no, scriptures tell us to pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are to be overcomers. And out of obedience, we pray. Pray through it that victory is ours. We are to believe it by faith, and we are not to waver or give up. Jesus did not waver on the cross. He went to the cross to cover the sins of the world. And that's your sin and mine. And he obeyed the Father's command. Let whosoever will, let them come. And I encourage you to pray for someone who may not know him, But be the vessel that God wants you to be to lead somebody to Him. Don't sell yourself short. Lead them to Him. Now, in this lesson, temptation or testing, can you pass? The point was temptation, resisting. The second point was testing, faith. We know that Satan orchestrates temptation, and we know God tests us or allows us to be tested. And triumphant, we are in Christ Jesus. We are victorious. We are overcomers. By faith, we have won. We have defeated every demonic force that tries to come against us. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for having an ear to hear the word of God through this lesson, temptation or testing. Now the question is, can you pass? Continue to read the word of God that you would be discipled. Continue to spend that time, that beautiful time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in devotion, in that private time with Him, and always remember to pray, to stand against the temptations of the devil. The grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever. Thank you again for your faithfulness to this broadcast. Pray with me as we continue to move through this week, and that we will see each other again. God bless.
Don't get fooled by cut-rate networks. Verizon is America's only number one network according to Root Metrics. Join today and get up to $650 when you trade in your phone to cover your cost to switch. Verizon, better matters. New smartphone device payment purchase and port-in required. Get up to $650 prepaid card for installment plan balance less trade-in value, or up to $350 prepaid card for early termination fees less trade-in value. Trade-in must be in good working and cosmetic condition and be worth more than $0. Line must remain active for 6 months, subject to BZW agreements, calling plan, and credit approval. Rankings based on 2016 first half Root Metrics U.S. National Root Score of 4-4 mobile networks. Results may vary. Visit rootmetrics.com.
Need another reason your Randall store is just better? How about free Farberware pots and pans? That's right. For every $10 you spend, earn a stamp you can redeem towards free Farberware items. See the in-store display for details. Earn stamps this week by purchasing beef T-bone steaks, great for grilling, for just $5.99 a pound. And get new crop large premium Gala apples or navel oranges for only 77 cents a pound. Fresher meats, sweeter produce, lower prices. Randall's, proudly serving Houston families since 1966.